Good morning. Good morning. Oh, that's a little better. I'm back. I know some of you prayed for me. I hope none of you prayed I wouldn't come back. No, you didn't do that. All right. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
I know that I am. All right. If you came in this morning and you received the bulletin, open it up. If you didn't, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. It's so important for you to know some of the things that are going on around here. So right after the morning service, Sunday school starts. Yes. And let me just remind you, we have Sunday school for the kids all the way through adults. And on our adult Sunday school class, we have been studying, if you remember right, some of the cultural events that are going on in our world and in our country and how to be able to navigate through those biblically. And so Robert's going to jump right back into that today. He's going to continue with that with maybe just a little bit of a review. And then tomorrow night here at 7 o'clock at the church, we have ladies' Bible study. Tuesday, we have men's Bible study at 7 p.m. right here at the church. Wednesday at 1 p.m., we have joy Bible study. We're going to pick up in our study of Romans, and we're going to do a little bit of a review this Wednesday because it's been so long. Or so it seems, so long since we had Bible study on Wednesday afternoon. So we'll be doing that. Thursday is one of our favorite Awana nights, glow in the dark. So that'll be great. You'll want to be here for that. You'll see that out on the information table in the foyer, there's a sign-up sheet for the prayer chain. If you would like to be a part of the prayer chain, I need you to sign up, and I need you to put down your email address. And we're going to leave it out there for just a few weeks. It's not going to be out there indefinitely. So if you've been, hopefully you've been thinking about, do you want to be able to be a part of our prayer chain? And if you have any questions, or in the meantime, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to have sent down the prayer chain or sent down by way of email to our church family, please contact me, and we'll make sure that that gets done. You'll see that there's a list of upcoming events in February, and there's already a change. So the Super Bowl party in the bulletin is listed as February 5th. Last night, after we came home from printing the bulletin, I was watching a football game that I really wasn't interested in, but I was watching it anyway. And there was a commercial that came on for the Super Bowl for February 12th, and I'm going, that's not right. The 12th isn't the first Sunday in February. The Super Bowl for years now has been on the first Sunday in February. So I looked it up on the internet, and of course the internet is always right, right? And so it said February 12th. So it's February 12th. So I'm going to make an executive decision. We will not have church family dinner on the 12th. We will have our Super Bowl activity. So we'll give you more details as that comes available. Is that all clear? Clear as coffee? All right, good. Okay, all right. There's a whole lot more information in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. Well, not only am I back, but Kayla and Carissa are back, and we are so glad that they are. And by the way, I got to show you this. They brought me this. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that great? What a great addition that's going to be to my giraffe collection. And so it was decided this morning to put it up here in the front so that all of you can enjoy it as well. And so, but they're going to come. They're going to give us a brief presentation. Well, I don't know if it's going to be brief, but knowing these two girls, it'll probably be brief. Okay? All right. And so they're going to tell us about all that God did while they spent this time in Uganda. Are you ready to hear that?
Yeah.
All right, let's give them a warm welcome as they come, and we're so glad that they are back with us.
Jibaliko.
Wasuze otia.
That's in Ugandan, it's hello and good morning. That's the main language in Uganda. So for anyone who doesn't know us, I'm Kayla, and this is my sister Carissa, and along with our cousin, we were in Uganda for the past 4 months working at the GEM Foundation, which is an orphanage for children with special needs. Unfortunately, in Uganda, a lot of times they believe in witchcraft, and they believe that special needs is a curse. So a lot of times they'll either abandon or abuse their children, believing that they can draw the spirit out of them, unfortunately. But we loved this great opportunity to go there and just love on the kids. I've been through so much. It's so special. We have a short video to play over some of our favorite moments there. And then after that, we'll talk a little more about it. Those were some of our favorite moments when we were there. There are 80 staff working at the GEM Foundation and around 50 kids from the ages like 2 to 20. So we have the PowerPoint slide. On the first slide, it shows a picture of us with the staff. Then on the next slide is showing some of the stuff I did there. I was nursing, which I love doing. And there's a baby there named Patrick, who's 9 months old, and he had a lot of severe special needs. I spent a lot of time working with him, and I just loved taking care of him. I fed him, gave him his medicine, just held him. And I also did some other medical procedure stuff, like suctioning trach, inserting in G-tube, nebulizing. I just really enjoyed that. Had a lot of fun taking care of the kids.
I was mostly doing music with the kids while I was there. I can actually go back a slide. Which I really enjoyed. I got to bring over some instruments that people helped me collect, and it was such a joy to see their smiles and their joy from playing on the instruments. It was fun to get to work with some of the kids who are sort of like trapped in their bodies, or they're really smart and really aware, and want to be able to do things but can't do a lot of things because they don't have a lot of mobility. And it was fun to find ways to help work with them and see the accomplishment that they have when they could like play sound on an instrument. Then I also had other kids that I worked with and taught them on some instruments, and it was just really fun to see them grow and see them build skills. This boy on the left is named Latif, and I loved working with him a lot. He's a little troublemaker, but he's a lot of fun. I would go into his home, and he would crawl over to me and be, "Carissa, my turn for music." And sometimes I'd have to tell him I was working with someone else. And he played this game with me one time. He had a toy that was broken. He told me that I broke it, and so then every time after he saw me after that, he'd be like, "Carissa, you are being naughty. You go to the naughty corner." He would send me to the naughty corner, and then I would escape, and that was a little game that we played. Then you can go to the next slide. This is another boy that I really fell in love with. He's 14, his name is Caleb, and he just fell in love with the piano. The first day that we brought it, he was playing on it for a while, and then we packed it away to go to a different home with some of the other kids, and he just had this big pout on his face. And then the next day we went to see him, and he was all sad, and that's the picture on the left. We were trying to figure out why he looked so sad, and then we asked one of his nannies, and his nanny was like, "Oh, he's upset that you didn't bring the piano back for him." So then the afternoon we brought it back for him, and that's the picture on the right. And so it's such a blessing to see how much joy that brought him. And the next slide. And this is a video of him at Christmas. I bought a little piano for him so that he can play whenever he wants. It was one of my favorite moments while we were there. Okay, it's okay.
Some of the fun things that we did with the gems is we take them out on outings. So this one time we took three of the younger kids out to a little zoo and a park, and I was just so excited seeing how happy they were, even just leaving the orphanage in the car. They'd be looking out the window and be like, look at that, and just pointing out all the things. So exciting to see that, how happy it made them, how excited they were. And there's this one boy, Elijah, that we brought, and going down the slide, he just had this big smile and was laughing. It's just so sweet. And then on the next slide, that was a video, but I don't know if it will work. So then the next slide, for we took two of the older boys also to a mall. We took them out to eat, and then we went and saw a movie with them. But we didn't realize when we got there is that the movie was actually in 3D. So at first they were a little scared by it. They're like jumping back by it. But after a while, they loved it and were just smiling and laughing at all the different things. So exciting to see how happy they were. And then also to get to the movie, there's an elevator. And the boy Caleb, they had never been in an elevator before, and it was like glass that showed all outside, and he was in it. He's just laughing. It was just so fun to see. It's such a blessing to be able to take them out. And then we also took some of them to the guest house that we were staying at, just like 5 minutes from the orphanage. We like did some baking with them and just read with them, and it was just so much fun seeing how happy it made them.
Not again. Next. So we also had some other things we got to do with some of the kids and staff. One thing that we did a lot of that we weren't expecting was baking. I one day had the missionary who runs the orphanage came to me. She's like, "You don't happen to bake cakes, do you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I love baking cakes." And so we made cakes for all of the birthdays once a month. And the staff really enjoyed our cakes, because when you go to a bakery there in Uganda, a lot of the cakes are not as sweet and they're kind of drier. So they were like, "Your cakes are so sweet. These are so good." And we would bake other things for them sometimes. And then at Christmas, we decided to bake Christmas cookies for all the staff, which I'm not sure if we quite realized what we were getting into with that, but we made 100 bags with 6 cookies, so 600 cookies, and then we decided to write handwritten notes to each of the staff, which also took longer than we were expecting, but we saw that as a cool opportunity to thank them for all that they do for the kids. And we also don't know all of the religious backgrounds of the staff. We know they have to profess to be a Christian to be hired there, but we decided to write a little message to them, a gospel message to them in there, to tell them about Jesus dying for them and that by believing in him. That's a free gift, what he gets for salvation. So that was cool. We had one lady afterwards tell us how much she appreciated our notes. So that was cool that we were able to do that. Next. One day we also got to teach Sunday school, which was in front of all of the staff and all of the kids. We were a little nervous about that because we found out we were doing that the night before. And we also had some other things to prep that night, but it ended up going really well. We did the story of Joseph, and we did it, kind of set it up like a skit for the kids to be involved with, which was super fun. And like even weeks after we had done it, the kids were still talking about it and sharing details about it. So that was cool that they still remembered it. And then towards the end of it, we gave an application that we kind of more focused towards the staff. And this was during a time that there's Ebola going on in Uganda. There's all these outbreaks happening, and so we had started to notice some of the staff dealing with fear over that and not being as joyful as they usually were. And so during this lesson, we just shared in response to what Joseph went through about the hard times and trials that we have and how God uses that in our lives and brings good out of those things. And afterwards, the staff shared about what they had learned, and it was really cool to see that God had spoken through us and that that message resonated with them. Are you
next? We also did have some challenges while we were there. The baby that I worked a lot with in the clinic, Patrick, he got, in December, he got malaria, and they took him to the hospital, and then they brought him back, but he's still really sick, so they took him back to the hospital. But on the way to the hospital, he passed away. So that was really hard for me, because I spent a lot of time with him, got really attached to him. I really missed him, but I got to be a part of his funeral, which was really special. They had me speak at his funeral, and Chris and my cousin played some songs for it, so that was really special. And it's hard not being able to see him again, but it's also joyful knowing that he's in heaven and he doesn't have any more of the suffering. And that I'll see him again someday.
Another, I mentioned Ebola, so like midway through us being there, we started to hear about this outbreak of Ebola that was happening about 4 hours away. And then this went on for like several weeks, and it at some point started spreading to the city, which was an hour away, which we would go to every week for church and like doing grocery shopping. So we had to stop doing that for a few weeks, and there's just a lot of unknowns. There is one point where we thought we might be sent home if it got too bad, and that was a little bit hard, but we just had to trust in God and know that if he wanted us there, that he would keep us there. And we were there, and we ended up staying there the whole 4 months. And we also, like we said, noticed some of the staff having some fear over it and not having the same joy that we would normally see in them. So we saw that as a good opportunity to show them that we weren't afraid and that we still wanted to be there and to know that God was in control of the situation and that there's no reason to fear knowing that. And then another challenge that we faced was my cousin got sick with malaria, and they gave her some medicine for it and it wasn't working, and then they put her on another treatment and that still wasn't working. So then she was admitted into the hospital, and so I stayed with her a few nights in the hospital, and she was put on a really strong medication, and thankfully she did recover from it, and that medication worked for her, but it was just kind of a stressful time trying to support her and help her get better. And I know she had some moments where she wasn't sure if she was going to recover from it because she was just feeling so bad, but it was a blessing to see how God used that and how he brought healing to her, and now she says that she wouldn't undo what she did. She wouldn't undo the pain and the scariness that she went through because of how God used it in her life. So that was such an amazing thing to see. So there's lots of ups and downs and things we weren't expecting while we were in Uganda, but it was a blessing to see how we could trust in God and how he was faithful to work everything out. And next. This is a picture from our last day there. That was a very emotional day for us. It was really sad to say goodbye to all of the kids that we had gotten so attached to. But it's a joy knowing that we will see them one day again. I know some of you have already asked what our plans are for going back. We definitely plan on going back. We don't have any plans of going back there again long term, but we plan to go back to visit. Something that we've talked about that we'd love to do is take a team of people there, possibly summer of 2024 for like a 10-day trip. So if anyone is interested in possibly doing that, let us know. And lastly, we just wanted to thank you all for your support while we were over there. We appreciate all the things that we were able to take over. And that was such a blessing to them. And then we appreciate all of your prayers.
So everything that they did, everything they experienced, everything God accomplished, we were a part of that because we prayed, because we gave, and we gave of our hearts. And God took what we gave, with our hearts, and used it through their hearts to be able to minister there in Uganda. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? So let's continue to pray for the GEM Foundation. Let's continue to pray for the lives that these two girls and their cousin had touched while they were there. And then I have a couple other prayer requests. Lois is still not feeling very well, so we need to remember Lois Obinchain in prayer. And Dottie has been moved to a rehab, and she's going to start therapy tomorrow. And so I know that she would appreciate your prayers. And so she's got quite a road ahead of her. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. So I know that she would appreciate your prayers. All right. Let's give these girls a hand again. And then, Jared, go for it.
God is awesome, isn't he? He's worthy of worship and praise. Would you stand with me as we worship the King this morning?
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with grace. O tell of his might, O sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be your majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and friend. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light.
You alone,
for you alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him. was victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we see.
Thank you so much. Thank you for truth today. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us who we are, you tell us who you are, and you make a way for us so that we may not fear. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. We praise you today for your goodness.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't wanna forget, mountaintop. Oh, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Chosen, I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine, more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. More than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power working in us, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. Circumstance, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you're more than enough.
Lord, thank you for being more than enough, for providing everything that we need. More so. Every victory is yours, Lord. Whatever we're going through, however difficult we think it is, Lord, in your name, there is victory. We trust you, Lord.
We will lift our eyes. We won't fear the fight. There is one who's stronger. Hard pressed on each side, we will not lose sight of the one who's greater. One name holds every victory. One voice that silences the enemy. One King who reigns for all eternity. Jesus, Jesus. On the battlefield, your power is revealed. Giants fall defeated. We are taking ground. Walls are falling down in the mighty name of Jesus. One name holds every victory. One voice that silences the dream. One name holds every victory. One voice that silences the enemy. One King who reigns for all eternity.
Praise the Lord today, amen. Praise him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of your praise. I hope that as we sing these songs, even ones you don't know, that praise can come out of you like those kids in Uganda, that praise can well up inside you for how great our God is. Awesome. Whew, gets me excited. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and at the same time, they're going to be passing out pens for you this morning because we're going to do some drawing during our sermon today. So please take a pen, and you'll follow along with me as I draw. But let's take the offering, and we're going to sing you a new song.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven where pain is gone. And mercy fills the streets to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will of faith we sang through doubt and fear. In the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death be no more, standing face to face with the who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever ye shall reign. Oh, so let it be today. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Know his holiness this morning? All right, kids, come on down and we'll get you ready for children's. Father, we are just so grateful. Grateful for all that we've been able to experience already this morning. And Father, we can't wait to see what else you have in store for us, as now we have your word opened unto us. Father, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to soak it in. And then, Father, give us strength and energy to put it into practice into our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a good time.
Okay, round two. Don't worry. Sam is back next week. It's going to be okay. You'll be done with me. All my words will be spoken today. First off, I just want to say thank you for not booing me out of here last week. Thank you for that. And thank you also for grabbing a pen and following along with me today. I'm really excited about this message that I, it's personal. It's impacted me over the last month or so as I've been studying for this. And as I've been teaching the Timothys, you guys heard last week about how I teach Timothy, well, which is youth that serve at Shiloh Bible Camp. We do discipleship here at our church every other week on Sunday nights. And we've been studying through Romans. So this is personal for me. So last week, we discussed an overview of Romans 1 through 5. We identified that Paul is a missionary, sanctioned and commissioned by God to take Jesus' name to Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. We learned that the gospel, or the good news, centers on Jesus. And finally, that the gospel reveals that there is a righteousness issue. Last week, I left several questions unanswered, such as, how do you define all the vocabulary that Paul uses, or what is the righteousness issue specifically? And rather than answer these questions, we skip forward to Romans 3 to get right to the center of the gospel, which reveals Jesus as the solution that God put forward for the resolution to the righteousness issue. Well, today, it's time to take stock of Paul's discussion points throughout Romans 1 through 5, and then we'll calibrate our focus, and hopefully the real picture will come into view that Paul and the Holy Spirit are trying to get across to us today. Remember when I said that we read a lot of scripture in our Timothy discipleship program? Well, today's no exception. We have lots of scripture to read again today. The Bible has all the knowledge and all the wisdom that we need, more than I have to offer you today. So we're going to try and let the Bible speak for itself. And hopefully, if I've done my job today, you will see how awesome God is. So we're going to pick up in Romans 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Now, you'll see on your bulletin today, there's no notes. There's no fill in the blanks, just an empty page. I want you to follow along with me as we draw a picture using the scripture as our instruction. So turn that page sideways so there's lots of space side to side, and we've got a lot of drawing. So in light of Romans 1, 16 and 17, let's start with writing the word God at the top center of the page, like that. Let's see here. And then we're going to write righteous under God. So it should look something like that. Don't worry, this page is going to get filled up by the time we're done. So what we learn in these couple verses is that there's a characteristic of God that is special, noteworthy, namely his righteousness, which is revealed. So let's keep moving. In verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." So just learned some new information to add to our drawing that God's wrath is also revealed. That wrath is directed at something and someone. We read that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So we're going to go ahead and write in wrath under righteous and then draw a stick figure under that. And I want to see some serious stick figures. Okay. Probably put a little frowny face on that guy because he's under wrath. That's a bad place to be. Okay, so here we have our stick figure. That's us. And I'm going to treat these terms very simplistically and say that we, the stick figure, are not like God, okay? There's a difference. He's God. We are ungodly. He's righteous. We are unrighteous. So now we have to add some adjectives to the picture, which gets a little depressing. We're going to write unrighteous underneath of him and ungodly. If you're running out of space, write smaller. I'm running out of space already. Can you see the grim picture that Paul is painting for us here? And we haven't even got out of chapter 1 yet, so it gets worse. Just wait. Verses 19 and 20 say, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So now we have some more attributes to label to God. To the right of righteous, we're going to go ahead and write in eternal power, and under that, divine nature. Eternal, E-T-E-R-N-A-L, power. And then under that, divine nature. Okay. But there's also a time element added in. These attributes have been clearly perceived since the creation of the world. So, go ahead and draw a timeline underneath our stick figure from left to right, with a starting point on the left, and then an arrow to the right. Now you might be thinking, hey Jared, if that stick figure is a representation of a person, or even me, I haven't been around since the beginning of time. So does this line mean that the person is somewhere on the timeline of history, or is this line a representative of a person's life? The answer is yes. A single person's life becomes a representative sample of the timeline of history. And for our purposes today, we could say that for every person, these illustrations are true, not just from the beginning of time, but the beginning of a person's life as well. And as a person experiences the revelation of God, experiences the revelation of God of all creation, they must cope with this reality in which they've been created. All people start out in the same boat, this depressing boat. So let's keep moving and add more to this picture. Romans 1, 24 through 25. "Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." There's another important distinction that we just alluded to earlier, and now it's being given a name. God is the Creator. We are the creation, or the creature, which God has created. So we're going to label to the right of God, Creator, and to the right of the stick figure, creature, and at the bottom of the page, creation. Okay, starting to take focus here. Now, there's an unfortunate disparity here that we can't illustrate, and that's the fact that God himself is not bound within the limitations of the creation which he created. So in reality, it would be better if we could write God and all of his attributes outside of the page. But for our purposes today, consider God as completely outside of the rest of creation. We're going to draw a dividing line between him and the creature and the creation. His righteousness is different than our version of righteousness. His abilities are different than ours. His attributes are different than ours. So we have to bear that in mind as we talk about God. We are only at liberty to perceive what God reveals about himself to us. This concept is what makes the whole illustration so amazing, in that we see God interacting with creation even though he's not obligated to do so. Furthermore, God has every right to set the rules of existence. After all, he created everything and has the right to declare truth and consequence. So let's keep painting this picture in verse 32. "Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." We're going to put sin over here to the left of our creature. And then we're going to draw in a dotted line vertically on this timeline between the man and the arrow, and we're going to label that death. This is our final piece of the puzzle from Romans 1. This vertical line that represents death that's deserved by all people due to sin paints a pretty grim picture for humanity. And yet this is the truth revealed to us. The picture looks rough. We have an illustration of the God over all creation who has revealed truth about mankind to mankind, about himself and them. And not only that, also the division between God and mankind due to these inextricable attributes. This, my friends, is reality. It's no wonder that the world at large, your neighbors, your friends, even your family, they do not want anything to do with this kind of a picture. It's no wonder that mankind rejects this reality because it's not pleasant, it's threatening, it's scary. But it's reality. So let's go on to chapter 2 and see how it gets even worse. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed? There's a really important idea that's portrayed here in the beginning of chapter 2, and it's the idea that, number one, ain't nobody getting out of this righteous judgment of God. We're all in the same boat. Later on in chapter 2, Paul discusses the idea that Jews who follow the law and don't have they don't have any advantage when it comes to God's righteous judgment versus Gentiles, that's you and me, not Jews, who act in accordance with the law even though the law doesn't even apply to them. Basically, this is the idea that we're all unrighteous no matter how good you think you are. Number two, there's an element of patience here, that God is patient with unrighteous man. In fact, God's patience and forbearance are referred to as kindness from God to man. And for a purpose, God's kindness is meant to lead people to repentance. This forbearance is leading to an eventuality, a final outcome of judgment that no one is getting out of. There are two set outcomes for all people based on a very important fork in the road of life, which we'll get into in just a moment. In the beginning of chapter 3, Paul helps solidify the very grim reality in which man finds himself, whether they like it or not. Romans 3, 9 through 20 says, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Did you catch what it said? All are under sin. None is righteous, no, not one. What the law says, it speaks to those under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. This is like saying, hey, Jews, you don't get a free pass here. You're just as unrighteous as the Gentiles, which you condemn. The whole world is accountable to God for unrighteousness' sake. And all people will be found wanting and will face judgment. There is no amount of good that you can do to somehow get around judgment. You will not be able to earn a pass here with good works, good intentions, or burying your head in the sand. There is no way out of this. Or is there? There's a song we sing from time to time called Flawless, and in it the lyrics say, then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat saying, it's too late, let me introduce you to amazing grace. If you're seeing this grim picture and thinking that somehow it's too late because you don't know the end of the story, then my friend, let me introduce you to amazing grace. In Romans 3, 21 through 26, it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's time to get excited. Let's turn this nightmare into a masterpiece. I want you to draw a solid vertical line to the left of the stick figure and label that faith in Jesus to the left of our stick figure. Put a crossbar on top of that guy. Faith in Jesus. That is a welcome change. Amen. Amen. That is a welcome sight to see. I want you to cross out un at the beginning of unrighteous. I want you to cross out ungodly, and we're going to write justified. You can just find somewhere to write it next to him, justified. I want you to write just to the left of God, and I want you to write justifier next to creator. Oh, this picture is looking so much better now. It's no wonder Paul states with boldness, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Can you see the change that just occurred in this illustration? Paul tells us that this is God's doing, not yours. The reality that you were justified by faith, you couldn't earn that. It's a gift. You couldn't demand it. You couldn't access it in any way except for God bridging the righteousness gap between himself and us with Jesus. Remember when we discussed last week that Paul was sanctioned and commissioned by Jesus to be a missionary to take Jesus' name to anyone who would listen? Let's read about that real quick in chapter 4, verse 3, and then 23 and 25. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Remember a few minutes ago when the picture was scary, when it was pretty grim, when there didn't seem to be a lot of hope, and when we said it's no wonder that people reject this truth. There's not a lot to look forward to except the end of pain and suffering when you don't have Jesus. Do you see what Paul said here in chapter 4? That this message, this change of outlook, this new reality is available to all who believe in Jesus, who was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the message of hope, that Jesus can take this reality, this old reality, and turn it into this new reality. I'm going to put a smiley face on that guy. I'm pretty sure he's pretty ecstatic right now. Do you see now why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? This is life-changing information. Not just for you, not just for me, but for everyone who will listen and believe. Is Jesus calling you to be unashamed today for his name's sake, like Paul? Is the Holy Spirit revealing a new picture of hope in your own reality? There's one more chapter and one more puzzle piece that I want to share with you today that makes this picture become more incredible. Romans 5, 1 to 2, and 8 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I'm going to write loved next to the stick figure under creature. He is loved. And I'm also going to write loved over on this side of the cross. I'm going to do something controversial. I'm going to cross out wrath, and I'm going to write peace. There is peace with God. And then the last one is grace. We're out of room here, so find a place next to our creature and write grace. There is grace. He's now in grace after the cross. We have been reconciled. The war is over. But the question begs, is this too good to be true? What happens if I mess up or I don't live up to this? Do I need to earn this in order to deserve it? Will the war be back on if I mess up? Is this reality revocable? Is justification secure? Is righteousness secure? Or is it changeable? Let's read Romans 5, 17 and 20 to 21. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there's good news for the believer in Jesus today. This reality in which you now exist as a loved, justified believer in Jesus is irrevocable. Where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. Grace reigns because of righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The final label I want you to put on this illustration today is eternal life on the right side of the timeline. Take a moment and let this soak in. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Did God change in this process? No. Do you see how you are not the same as you were before you believed? Everything to the left side of the cross is over. It's done. It's old news. That dotted line of death over there doesn't win. It's not the end. You now stand in grace, not condemnation. You are now righteous by faith in Jesus. The war is over. So it's time to make this personal. We often think of ourselves like this old picture here. We won't let go of our failings. And the shame and regret associated with the past, which Christ died for. Today, I'm here to tell you that that's not you. This is who you are. In God's grace, you are wrapped in righteousness. It's time to let go of hurt, let go of shame, let go of regret, and believe God when he says that this new reality is who you are. My prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit would help you to understand just how amazing is this new reality in which you live. To understand that your status as a justified believer bound for eternal life will never change because of grace, and to know that death is certainly not the end. You can live in this new reality. You don't need to second guess it. You don't need to wonder or worry. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for wrapping us in righteousness, for making us flawless. Help us to receive this truth and stand in this new reality. Amen. Would you all stand with me for this last song? There's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong. 'Cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. And like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late, well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this, wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. Take a breath, smile, and say, right here, right now, I'm okay, because the cross was enough. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late, well, let me introduce you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless.